The one thing about getting married so young and meeting my husband when I was so young was that I never really thought about this question. And when I was reading this, I was trying to think, do I agree with this? And I realized since I have no frame of reference, I don't know.
Wait a minute. Are you about to field all your old options?
No.
Good, because I don't want to be a part of that. That'd be embarrassing.
It's Anna and Raven. What do you think is the most important trait in a woman for you?
Loyalty. Loyalty is huge. Got to have my back for everything. There's no side conversations or secrets or anything like that. Loyalty.
Like Jon Snow kind of loyalty?
Well, Jon Snow was loyal to a fault until he actually murdered her.
Okay.
So I'm going to say that's a bad example.
All right. So a new survey shows that the most important traits that a woman looks for in her partner.
Okay.
Okay. 1 to 6. Number 1, kindness. Number 2, ambitious. Number 3, financial security. Number 4, being attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Number 5, being assertive. And 6, nice body. Do you agree with that?
It seems like a long list. It's a lot
it's a
to
lot
live
of
up
things.
To. But I think that if you have any one of those things in abundance, then you can probably rope in a partner, right? It's just, you know, everybody has a different scale of what they're looking for. I'm not sure if every one of those is in the same order, but it's up there.
I feel like kindness should always be number one.
That's, it should be that's good, right?
You should be kind.
You want to think that this is a good person.
That you spend the rest of your life with? You want them to be nice to you, of
right,
course.
Right, right. Funny, those type of things, yes.
But ambitious rules over attractive, assertive, and nice body? I don't know if that's necessarily, I mean, I guess.
Well, don't you want somebody that wants to be better? Right. Isn't that part of it is that ambition is not necessarily just about making money or work, but somebody wants to just be better.
Right. But if they have financial security, then aren't they all more important than being ambitious? Like you already got all that cash. You can be as ambitious as you want. If we're millionaires, you don't really need to be that ambitious. We did it.
I think that you know somebody that fits in each one of those categories that's chosen one of those to be their first one over one of the others. Did it work out better for them?
I don't know. Like, what if you just marry the hot guy, the attractive guy? You marry the hottest
probably
guy in the
dumb
world.
Probably dumb as a stump.
Right. Like, you married the Brad Pitt
right.
of your senior class at whatever high school you went to.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you're in your 40s or 50s, did you make the right decision that he's losing his hair? You're going to start, like, thinking about that, right?
Peaked too early, man. Timing's everything.
All right. So, knowing all of this, would you still say that loyalty is the most important? What if she's not nice to you, if she's not kind?
Have you met my wife?
Oh, you're right. Yeah, she's definitely loyal. It's Anna and Raven. What did you buy, you used, and then you returned it, and your plan was to return it the whole time? 1-800-330-9999. Raven, I went to the grocery store yesterday. I ran into a good girlfriend of mine. I'm not going to tell you what grocery store it is because I feel guilty about what I know is happening.
Okay.
So I run into her and she's shopping like all the pumpkins, right?
Sure, sure.
And they're good deals. It's like 3 for $15 or something like that.
Time to get the pumpkins right now.
Yeah. So I said to her, but here's the thing is I also, like she's a good friend of mine. I know that we always go to the same farm usually to pick them out because we like to get like the real
So
funky.
It's different that she's there at the store picking them up. Yeah.
So I said to her, I'm like, oh, you're getting your pumpkins here. And she's like, oh, I'm going to return them. I go,
well, wait a minute.
What? And she goes, yeah, I have the photographer coming this weekend to do, like, she's got 4 kids. She's like, I have the photographer coming this weekend to do the pictures of the kids. So I wanted to have the pumpkins, but I'm going to return them. And then I'm going to go to where we always go and get the quote unquote good pumpkins.
I mean, that's terrible. I mean, they were good enough for the photo, good enough for posterity's purposes, but then you're going to return them?
I mean, have you ever heard of such a thing?
Well, I know that you know, obviously people buy things and then use them and immediately return them. My wife has done this a couple times, and it's not normally something that I subscribe to, but something that was alive and now is dead, it
right.
surprised me. Now, you know, had those years where we returned a couple Christmas trees.
I mean, I don't understand. See, Raven, you are the biggest culprit of this.
You act like I understand. I don't understand.
Well, you are an accomplice to your wife, Alicia,
right.
in returning nonsense. Like, the year you returned a Christmas tree,
two.
I thought, like, two Christmas trees.
Two Christmas trees.
I don't understand how that happens.
I don't understand how they allowed it. I got to be honest. I mean, I don't understand how the measurements were so off. We actually returned one and resold another, which was good. And it was so large. The bar was like, we will never buy anything from you again.
Right.
The bar was like, we need a tree that will fit in our front window. The problem was they lost half their seating. And this is before Rona, so that was an issue for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right now, my wife is actually, so we're working on a yard project. And when I say us, it's primarily been my wife here. And she bought something the other day that we needed to till the ground. And she immediately was like, she's like, I'm going to the store. I'm going to buy this and then I'm going to return it. And now we broke it. So I don't think it's going back.
Wait a minute. So like a tiller. So it's like for the soil and all that.
Not
so,
an electric one, just a manual one.
But how do you bring it back? You like hose it down after and you're like, nope.
I don't think
work.
You even do that. I think you just say it doesn't handle the job. Right. And to be fair, this one actually didn't. But now that it's broken, I don't know that we can actually bring it back.
My sister-in-law, Jasmine, she used to be really good at this. Whenever there was something that I was embarrassed to return.
Yeah.
She'd be like, I do it.
I'll do it.
We had like a mixer, like the ones that go on the counter, the big ones that are expensive, like the KitchenAid.
Like the KitchenAid
ones.
Yeah. Yeah, the nice ones.
Yeah, and we used it for like 2 years. And then it.
What?
Yeah, and then it broke. And I said to her, I go, like she was over my house. And I'm like, it broke. And she's like, just bring it back. I go, bring it back?
Yeah, I don't even have a box at this point. Right.
I don't have. And she, you know, I had gotten it for like my, it was like my first wedding. It was in the shower. And she was like, no, just bring it back. And she's like, Bed Bath & Beyond, I'll take it back.
Well.
And I was like, I can't. Like, I physically cannot do it. She's like, I'll do it. She brought it back. With a coupon and got me a new one for brand new, like a brand new
nice.
One 2 years later. I was like, in retrospect, it makes sense why Bed Bath & Beyond is going out of business right now because of people like us.
I find it, you know, do you think that it's different store to store? Because some places they'll interrogate you or just the person that's at customer service because some don't care. Mm. Some are like, this is not my money, my company. I'm just bringing
they
it back.
Care.
I can't fight with a customer. Others are like, what? Why? They want to interrogate you or whatever.
But most of the time, it's one of those big stores. They'll just take it back.
Yeah. I mean, they got too many other things to worry about.
So what did you buy, you used, and then you returned it? 1-800-330-9999. What did you buy, you used it, and then you returned it? 1-800-330-9999. Tana and Raven, my girlfriend, I ran into her at the grocery store. She was buying pumpkins. And she said to me that she had planned to return them after this weekend because the kids had a photo shoot. And then she was going to go to the farm to buy the quote-unquote good ones.
That seems so wrong, I got to tell you. To me, an item is one thing, but the living or dead item is something else. I mean, I remember that we bought this vacuum and it was, you know, an expensive vacuum, but it wasn't crazy or anything like that. Used it around the house for like 2-3 years, brought it back, got a new one.
Some people have no shame when it comes to the return game. I'm looking at our Facebook page. You could search Anna and Raven. And Jenny wrote that she used to work at Walmart during college and she was covering the service desk. And a customer came in with a vacuum that clearly was at least a decade old, did have a receipt, but it was from Sears. And his excuse was that we sold the same brand and the manager made her take it back.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, you know, Walmart's such a big company, right? They don't want somebody complaining, causing a problem or anything like that. I mean, I kind of get it. I'm more of the type where if I buy something, I'm too lazy to even take it back.
Right.
So even if it doesn't work, it just ends up in my garage or in the trash eventually.
We asked on our Facebook page, what did you buy, use, and return? Susan wrote, jigsaw puzzles, do it all the time.
What?
You put them together. I mean, it's true. What are you going to do with them after you put them together and the challenge is over?
but
isn't that crazy?
But the edges are a little bit, you know, it's not the same as a brand new puzzle. I'd be mad if I opened up a puzzle and found it used.
What did you buy, use, and then return? 1-800-330-9999. Tana and Raven.
I bought a refrigerator and I used it for like 3 months and then I returned it. I told them that it never gets cold enough, but the truth is that my buddy had an extra and he gave it to me. So I figured I'd save myself a grand and just use the one he gave me.
Wow.
Okay. I mean, a few months, right. That seems a little funky. Are you really getting the smell of the lettuce out of that thing after?
I feel bad for the story.
I think so.
I mean, I wish I could return my fridge. It's 2.5, 3 years old. I hate that thing.
I mean, you return couches. You can't return your fridge. Yeah, I'm surprised.
That was in a few weeks, and the dog hated it. He wouldn't sit on it. He refused.
Imagine you're the person that works at the place where you get a couch return and you're told it's because the dog doesn't like it and won't sit on it.
Yeah, well, you know what? Should have allowed the dog in the store. I would have known. Mm-hmm. Could have been preemptive about this.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did you buy knowing that you were going to return it immediately?
My wedding dress.
Come on.
Come on.
No, I bought it off rack and it was about $1,600. And I knew I was only going to wear it for the church ceremony. And I had already purchased this gorgeous, expensive dress for the reception. So I wore it. Tucked the tags in, took it right off after Mass, and took it back to the store the following Monday.
I can't believe it. I thought with a wedding dress, it's like a computer. You leave the building, and it's yours.
Right.
That's like, it.
I guess you didn't have to have it altered or anything.
No. Fit perfectly right off the rack.
Wow.
And,
this is
know,
a mannequin model
knew.
On the phone. This is a mannequin model on the phone. This is not a real person.
Is your waist 23 inches?
That's right. This is a mannequin model on the phone. Right off the rack.
I mean, that is a way to save $1,600.
There you go.
What did you buy? You used it? And then you returned it. 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. You know, I always feel uncomfortable when I return things if I know that I've used it. Like, I physically cannot do it. It makes me feel awkward.
What if you open something up, though, and it breaks the first time
That's
you use
different.
It? Like,
That's
you know,
different.
You're just like, you know what? This is garbage. It's not going to do the job.
I always feel like the people think I'm lying, too.
Right.
When I say something doesn't work. So,
right now, I have the same thing going on. I bought new screen doors for my back patio, right?
Yeah.
And I opened them up. And, of course, they're packaged in the store. So I looked at them. There was no holes. I said, okay, these are fine.
Yeah.
Took them home, opened them up. And then when I actually put them on the house, I realized that, wait a minute, half this screen is falling out here. And I just bought this. It's brand new. I still haven't taken them off and taken them back to the store, but I'm doing it like this weekend, man. And I've owned them like 3 weeks.
But that's different. There's a difference between something going wrong with the item you bought and you used it knowing perfectly well you were going to return it anyway. We asked on our Facebook page and Sita wrote that when she was younger, she used to go out and do fun things. All of us, Sita, trust me. And she wrote, I purchased a sequence covered top from Kohl's. I wore it for New Year's, and then the night went on, it became rather sequinless. They refunded me no problem when I returned it 2 days later.
I mean, same thing. It didn't hold up, right? I guess.
Yeah. It's a little bit different.
I mean, maybe New Year's was to blame, but maybe not.
Alex said that he bought plate holders from Kohl's, bought them, used them once for the wedding centerpieces, and then returned them.
I don't want to blow up your spot, Kohl's, but it looks like you guys are pretty freewheeling with the return policy
but
here.
But that's actually why you shop at a lot of places,
right?
Because you know that they're not going to give you a hard time when you return things, and it's important. 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did you buy, use, and then you returned it?
I bought makeup from Macy's and returned it.
Did you use it first?
What happened was they kind of caused that. So I had a big party to go to. So I wanted to look different and cute and all of that. So I went to Macy's to make an appointment for them to do my makeup. And it was the MAC makeup. So they were like, in order for them to do my makeup, I have to buy their makeup. So I was like, okay. I bought the makeup, have them do my makeup, and I bought jewelry and everything. And then after I went to the party, I took everything back the next day.
Imagine you go to open up your blush and you're like, wait a minute, where's that nice, perfect matte that you start with the first time you use it? No, it's on her face.
Yep.
Oh.
It's on somebody else's face.
Listen, I'm not a makeup person anyway. I just do it, like, go get my makeup done if I have a big event to go to.
Right. It's totally fine. That's
it
why.
It works out.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did you buy knowing that you were going to return it immediately?
Okay. It wasn't me, but I worked in the supermarket in the meat department. And this woman, right around Thanksgiving, bought a 22-pound turkey. She brought it back the day after Thanksgiving. It was just the carcass.
Stop.
It's a bone.
Stop it.
Come on. That's not
come
true.
On.
That can't be true.
Serious. And then she said, my dog wouldn't even eat it.
Right. Oh,
and they had to give her money back.
I mean, picked to the bone, and she says the dog wouldn't
turkey.
Even eat it.
Well, if it was a disgusting turkey.
All it was left.
Yeah, I always wonder that. Like, how are you going to argue with somebody if you're like, that was bad?
Yeah, and the manager gave it to her.
I wow. You know, when I was a server, I remember all the time when people send their meal back, but there's only a bite left.
Right.
You know, like, that's a common thing.
Yeah.
What did you buy, use, and then you returned?
That's all I need to know about you. That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can always call or text 1-800-330-9999. If you fake your own kidnapping, Raven, during a school Zoom session, that's all I need to know about you.
That's scary. Is that supposed to be a joke?
Oh,
what happened?
No. It's the newest TikTok trend.
Oh.
Of course it is.
Great.
Right?
Well, you know what? That's why we were supposed to shut them down.
Right. So here is a clip of one of the teachers doing their Zoom thing, trying to teach, and this happens.
Suggestions about moving paragraphs around even. Did you guys just see Tyler get kidnapped? Do we need to call the police?
Like, okay.
I mean, that's a real thing.
Did I giggle a little bit? Yes. Was it appropriate? No.
What did it look like? Masked men come in and grab this person and just run out of the room?
That's like the whole TikTok trend. Right. Is like, how do you fake the kidnapping? Like, somebody comes in with like a bag on their head and just grabs them and takes them off the screen. I can't figure out what's worse. Actually, I think I do know. The kids that are doing the inappropriate images.
Yeah.
Okay. There's that. The inappropriate images, which is a big thing right now.
Sure.
Or the faking of the kidnappings. The inappropriate images.
How about the parents that are doing something inappropriate in the background, too? Like, that's been happening all over the place. That's a real issue.
But that's more like them getting changed and being undressed and not knowing that their kids are live on
camera. No. I've heard of people like they got all sorts of stuff in the background, man. They're drinking, they're smoking, they're hanging out. Like, it's terrible.
This is a whole new world that nobody saw coming.
It's true.
But you know what you don't have to do? Contribute to that nonsense with pretending to be kidnapped. That is all I need to know about you.
It's probably a good thing. If you're the person that, if you're the business, big or small, that says everywhere on your webpage, and if I call that it's in stock, it's ready to ship, it's ready to go, and then I put it in the cart, I pay for it, of course, and then it tells me it's not going to be there for 3 weeks, that's all I need to know about you. I'm tired of this nonsense, man.
It's true.
Where are you holding these items that you say that you have? And then, of course, you got to go through the process of returning the thing, find somebody else that can get it to you in time. It's a pain.
It's the worst when you have to cancel an order. You're so excited. You think it's done. You finally buy it's done. And then all of a sudden, they're like, shipment date, August 2022. You're
right.
Like, what?
You took my money right away, but now, and the return process at this point is so long. Call them up, COVID.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
Attacking people for having a different opinion.
That's kind of the way right now, right? But you're right. I mean, and it could be something large or small. Used to be that we could have conversations. No more.
Right.
No more talking to people. That is it.
Stop talking to people. That's what we have to do
That's it.
The message.
I hope not, but you may be. It seems like it sometimes.
I have two friends, right? Grown men. One of them is 50 years old. I mean, they're grown men. We used to be all very, very close, but because of their different political beliefs, we're going man camping next weekend. All the guys, these guys are not coming. Neither of them.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
It's unbelievable.
It bothers me.
Yeah, of course it bothers you. They're just friends. You just want to go have fun and like go camping, and you can't because you're afraid that all of a sudden they're going to come up politics and it gets all nasty.
And they should be, if they're grown enough to have that discussion, they should be able to disagree and just say, okay. But you know what? To be fair, one of them is the type to walk away and the other one just won't let it die.
1-800-330-9999. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. What does the color of your car say about your personality? It's Anna and Raven. I have my lease is up. I got to get a new car. It's been very stressful.
It really has.
It's the most stressful thing because the car I want, to be honest, is probably a little bit more expensive than I can afford. But I'm trying to find that deal where it's like so close it can kind of fall into my price range.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a common thing when people go to buy a car, right? You want something nice, but then you've got that practical voice speaking in your head and you get torn back and forth.
Right. So finally, I find a dealership that the price is, you know, quote unquote, all right. And
it's in your window.
It's in my window. But there's only one color of the car because it's a loaner. I would be leasing like one of the loaners.
Okay.
And it's silver, but it's light silver. Now, I have a problem with light silver because I feel like it looks like they forgot to finish the car. To me, in my head, it's like they did everything. It's the perfect car. But then they didn't paint it because they didn't have time. I think that.
I think it depends on the car. Some cars, I think silver works, but other cars, I don't think it does, right? I mean, I've had cars before where you had to have the different, you couldn't have the silver.
Right.
You had to have the darker, you know, you had to have something darker.
And for some reason, people don't care a lot of times, like the color of the car. It's just the color of their car. But for me, like when I've had a color that I didn't like, it bothers me.
Yeah.
And then I started doing some research, and it's because the color of your car says a lot about your personality.
Okay.
So I looked up silver. Now, this is like the lighter silver.
Yeah.
And it says, if you like a silver car, you're practical, innovative, business savvy, and have good taste. I'm none of those things.
See that?
Right. Like, that's but probably
I,
why.
I feel like they're telling you you like the silver car because it's in the price range because the silver car is available.
Right.
Right. So then you're practical. It fits in that range. Thinking about it, I haven't had a lot of color variation with cars before, but my favorite car of all time was green. And I would have never bought the car green, but I saw the right truck SUV at auction. And I was like, you know what? I got to have that truck. And
oh my
it was
gosh.
The right deal.
Wait till I read this to you.
Please.
Okay. If you have a green car, you have a very strong sense of self and don't care what others think of you.
Wow.
According to whoever this Marcy Cooperman is, green cars, the popularity peaked in the 1990s And we're in the midst right now of a backlash against green, with fewer green cars in the showrooms and on the road.
It was a 1990, and I enjoyed 1999 rather, and I enjoyed that car. It was a great car. And you know, I mean, you read it. Kind of sounds like me.
It does sound like
me. I mean, I really don't care what people think.
Right. 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What color is your car?
My car is gray.
Gray. Hold on. I got to find gray. 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 If you have a gray car, you know there's a difference between silver and gray. The gray car.
Exactly.
Oh, I know. This is true.
How ironic.
Yeah, I know. The gray car driver doesn't want to stand out. Oh, my gosh. And between silver and gray, the latter is more nondescript. Gray doesn't need or want to be flashy as silver, projecting more dignity, tradition, and maturity. Do you find that to be true?
That is perfect.
I mean, I just thought it looked cooler on certain cars.
That's so funny. I always say it all the time. I just want to blend in. Like with my clothes, I just want to blend in. My car, I just want to blend in with everybody else.
You want it to look cool, but not too cool.
Right. Just I just want to like kind
of go
right under the radar. That's so funny because my car is gray too, but I'm having a hard time deciphering between getting this gray.
You're
going to
get that
like,
silver,
this...
girl. Go flashy.
I don't know.
We're a big deal.
I feel like it's just unfinished. I told you. What color car do you drive? I'll tell you what it means and you can see if it's accurate. Call 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna Raven. What does the color of your car say about your personality? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. Shopping for a new car, and the car that I'm getting, they only have it available in light silver, which has always been my least favorite because it feels like they just forgot to finish painting the car.
Yeah, you think it's naked, but it could save you some cash while you're closing this deal.
But then I looked at what the color silver says about your personality when that's your car, and I don't really associate with it. It says that it's practical, innovative. I'm none of those things. But what does the color of your car say about you? Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What is the color of your car?
My car is black.
Black. Black is, let's see. Hold on 1 second. Black. When we think about adorning ourselves in black, we also think of black tie dinners and cocktail dresses. It is a color of luxury and sophistication. Now, if your car is black, you are dignified and striking without being showy. You want to give the appearance of mystery, but you may be longing for more depth in your life.
It reads like the back page of a romance novel.
Right. You are still timeless,
oh my
important,
God.
And you're always in control.
Right.
Is that true?
All right. Yeah, I'm going to say that's true. Thank you.
Yeah, I would definitely say that's true. Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the best press you're going to get.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What color is your car?
My car is white, actually.
Okay, white. So white is associated with honesty and purity. If your car is white, you have taste and elegance and strive for perfection. Yet sometimes you find yourself longing for a more simple life. And it says if you're driving a white car, you want to present a fresh, young, modern face to the outside world. But does that describe your actual personality? Do you feel like you're like that?
No, actually, I feel after everything you said, this is my aspirational car. It's pretty much the things I want to be.
Oh,
that's good.
Well, you picked the wrong color car. I'm sorry. I didn't want to be the one to tell you.
No, she's striving for it.
Yeah, all right.
Keep your eye on the prize.
Okay.
Then and the road.
You probably should have chosen yellow, but that's all right. You know what? If you can maybe one day live up to your car's reputation.
Yeah, I'll manifest my destiny through my car color.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What color is your car?
Hey, my car is red.
Oh, you have a red car. Oh, you're a guy with a red car. Okay, hold on.
He's spicy. Spicy, yeah. Right?
Okay.
Prone to get tickets.
Red is often the color chosen by those who have a zest for life. They are outgoing, aggressive, fun, and impulsive, or they're someone who wants to be those things. If your car is red, you're most likely ambitious and determined to get all you can out of life. You tend to be restless and extroverted, so sometimes you are shocked when someone points out one of your shortcomings. You're a confident go-getter who is often the life of the party. Do you find that to be accurate, sir?
I am a Leo through and through. Yes, I find that to be 100% spot on.
That's
YOLO.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I'm a Leo,
but he's also
too.
The same guy I'm pulling over.
Well, right. If he's aggressive in his home life,
that's
he's
right.
probably aggressive on 95.
That's too. Right. That's what I'm thinking.
Hi, it's Ann and Raven. What color is your car?
It's like a sky blue, I think they call the paint.
Sky blue. Hold on, let me go down to blue. Okay, blue. If you have a blue car, it doesn't necessarily mean you have a case of the blues. Rather, blue cars act as a tiny bit of sunny sky in an otherwise gray and bleak highway or street.
I love blue.
It says that you are compassionate, optimistic, stable, honest, and serene, and you like to be admired for a strong sense of self-wisdom. Is that true?
I mean, the first couple lines felt a little shaky, but it finished strong.
Do you find that?
Holy cow. Oh, my God, that's me. Like, I'm shocked. That's spot on me.
See?
Like, and I just bought the blue car because that was the color I liked. I didn't
think beyond that.
That's because you're optimistic and stable and honest and serene.
It feels a little bit, you know, astrology, like we're getting your horoscope right here, right now. But okay, thank you.
That's what
it says, yeah. That's wild.
Standing in line at Walmart, and I look over, and I realize, look, they're still tabloids. And then I started reading the cover, and I realized there's so much we could learn for this from only $2.49. And that's why we're going to do this.
Will Bruce Willis break this Miami Vice beauty's heart? What are 10 secrets for putting more fun in your marriage?
I want to know.
This week's National Enquirer tells you.
It's in the Enquirer.
Plus over 100 features for people with inquiring minds.
Like me.
That's right. So we, except today we don't have a National Enquirer. I bought Woman's World,
yeah,
which I had no idea was also so informative.
Okay, great. Okay. I can't wait to learn. I have to go back in time to find that commercial, by the way.
I'm sure. All right, here we go. What did we learn from Woman's World on the cover?
Okay.
Number one, it says there's a pillow trick that ends night sweats. So don't you want to know what ends night sweats?
I mean, I don't really have them, but if I did have them, I would definitely want to know.
Well, it plagues 68% of Americans, according to this.
Okay. All right.
You turn to page 18.
All right.
Okay. The pillow trick is to sleep on your left side with an extra pillow under your head, which will reduce acid reflux that contributes to night sweats. But the best way to get rid of night sweats, according to this tabloid right here,
is air conditioning.
Keep your bedroom between 61 and 64 degrees.
That seems pretty easy.
Now listen.
Well, it was in there in that article. Easy for us to digest. All right, what else do we have?
All right, on the cover, the tease says, how to cure stress. That's a big one.
That's a big one.
Right.
I'm glad they worked it out. Let's find out.
Page 24. Cozy up with a cup of hot cocoa, and that will lower your stress levels because chocolate has the same antioxidants that trigger brain receptors like Xanax and Valium.
Oh.
Hot chocolate, just like Valium.
Okay.
And I guess we've learned something new here.
Good to know. Take care of your dopamine. I'm not allowed chocolate, according to my heart doctor, so I'll just have to go on being like this.
Well, maybe you
should buy... Exactly as I am every day.
Did you ever think about buying Woman's World and finding out what was wrong with you?
Maybe this will change my mind.
All right.
What else do you have there?
This one is an experiment that we're going to do. Now, the big cover, it says... magnets cured Karen's chronic depression.
Oh, good.
Right.
Good. If you're feeling low, you want to get better. You want to feel better, right?
Yeah. And Karen has a 3-page spread in here. And
gosh.
Yeah. And it's all about how she didn't want to play pickleball anymore. And she didn't want to leave the room. And like she was having all these depression issues and she couldn't get out of it. And she tried all these antidepressants and talking to therapy. Like,
therapists. What is pickleball?
I don't know. But she didn't want to play it anymore.
Right. That is sad.
Yeah.
Because clearly she loved it.
Right. Now, I don't suggest doing what Woman's World says to do here, because to me, I think probably talking to a therapist and antidepressants is probably the right way to go.
Yeah.
But they said...
No, but if magnets can do it over pills,
right?
I'm here for that.
It's called deep transcranial magnetic stimulation.
Uh-huh.
It's basically a helmet of magnets that you put on, and it cures your depression. So here's what I did, Raven.
Yeah?
I went on my refrigerator this morning, and I got some magnets... I have this Washington, D.C. magnet.
Let me guess. You want to place these on my face.
I'm going to put these on your face.
Good.
I have an Ocean City, Maryland, crabby but cute magnet.
Good, good.
I have this
angel. If nothing
angel.
Says feeling better, that's the one that was.
I have an angel magnet.
Okay.
And then I'm trying to teach my toddler Dakota about animals. So I have a goat magnet and a turkey magnet.
Great.
She doesn't actually know any of the animals. She just plays with them. All right, I'm coming over. I'm going to put
it on
your
head. I'm not feeling depressed, but I mean, there's always room to feel better. That's the way I look at it.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to put these on your face.
Okay.
And then when we come back from commercials, we're going to see.
If I feel better?
If you feel better. If you feel more relaxed, like Karen, if you have any desire to play pickleball whatsoever.
Right. Okay.
Well. All right? All right. Let's see how it works. I'm putting these on your head now.
All right. We'll find out.
This is ridiculous.
Yes.
All right. According to the tabloid that I bought, Woman's World at Walmart, which FYI, I forgot the tabloids even existed, it claims that Karen's chronic depression was cured with magnets on her head.
I mean, we couldn't have chose a different name.
Well, that's her name. It's her name, poor
lady. She didn't want to play pickleball anymore or anything.
Things are terrible. Now, I have taken the magnets off my refrigerator. I brought them, and over the last 4 minutes, Raven has had the magnets all over his face and his head.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you feel less depressed, happier, more relaxed, any of those things?
I mean, I was in a pretty good mood. I feel a bit more relaxed.
Stop. Stop it.
No, but listen, because I couldn't move for 6 minutes. You had me sitting there with these things on my face. And you know me, if I'm like, you know, inactive for 4 minutes or more,
you're asleep.
I'm ready to fall asleep. The other thing is my bottom lip is like tingling. I don't know if you had something on the back of this magnet or something, but that's a little bit strange.
Well, maybe it's just working. Put the magnets back on your face. This works.
We have a show to do.
This is the best $2.49 I've ever spent in my entire life.
Well, that's a tabloid factoid. Thank you for the contribution this morning.
Have a problem? Anna's daughter Hayden can tell you what to do.
Don't get in trouble after 5 p.m. Otherwise, you'll probably get dessert taken away from you.
Love issues?
If he doesn't show up on a horse on your first date, he's probably not a prince.
Life problems?
Just tell your boss the truth. You want to put a playground with a slide in your office building so you can have recess during the workday.
Life advice with Hayden Zeff.
Ever need life advice? You could always email my 11-year-old daughter, Hayden, hayden@annaandraven.com. She always has something to say, even though she has actually no qualifications to give any advice. Ready for today's email, Hayden?
Yep.
Hayden, my husband and I are expecting our first baby together this February. He's actually due on Valentine's Day. My husband would really like to name him after his father. The problem is, I don't really like the name. And then it says in parentheses, it's Alfred. What do you think? Should I convince him to break tradition, or should we just name him that? Ah, what do you think? That's tough, huh?
Well, if he has some cultural thing where they have to name the baby Alfred, I mean, I guess you have to name the baby Alfred.
Well, that's not how it actually works. I mean, it's tradition. It's tradition in people's families, but I mean, nobody forces you to name your baby anything. You can name your baby whatever you want, but do you think that tradition and family traditions are more important than just liking a name? That's the bigger question here.
Well, that's like me asking you, Mother, do you like my name that you have given me?
Yes, I do like the name I gave you. I picked it out, Hayden, and that's an unusual name. And it's not a family name, because if I had followed tradition, your name would have been Maria, just like, you know, like Nonna, your grandmother.
And my aunt.
Several aunts, actually. There's many of them named Maria, yes.
And maybe his middle name could be Alfred.
So middle name Alfred.
And for some reason, Alfred kind of reminds me of that of the game Guess Who, because there's a Guess Who card for Alfred, and he has the sideburns that are orange.
Does he wear glasses?
I think he does.
Does your person have blonde hair?
No, my person does not have blonde hair. Is your person a male?
Yes. Is your person Alfred?
How'd you know?
Is it Alfred or Alfred? How do you say that?
I think it's Alfred.
Do you know how to say it?
I'm just going
to
go with Alfred.
Alfred? Is it Alfred? Alfred?
I'm going to go with Alfred.
Frid? Like Frid?
Well, no. I mean, don't Alfred? Emphasize it. It's just, you know, how it comes out. You're making it weird when it doesn't need to be.
Alfred.
I'll say the cop-out is the middle name. I mean, that's the easy choice.
That's
but
what I did.
If you put Al on the front side, all right, if Alfred is the first name, then you get to be Big Al the rest of your life.
You can call me Al. Look what I did there.
No, stop
I
it.
Mean, that was awful.
This whole thing is over.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
If you need advice, email me, Hayden@annaandraven.com. That's HAYDEN@annaandraven.com. See you next week. Bye.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every weekday morning, a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Jessica and Eddie. Jessica, let's start with you. What's going on?
Well, our daughter has a boyfriend, and we don't mind that it's at school or on the phone, but she wants to have him over, and I feel kind of weird about it.
Have you met the boyfriend before? First off, how old is your daughter?
She's 13.
Have you met the boyfriend before?
No, we haven't met him before.
I mean,
I just think it's like she's just too young.
I understand
while
that.
You guys are home, you think it's too young? I mean, I
13
get
13 years old? Like, that's like pretend boyfriend, girlfriend time. That's like at school, on the phone. Yeah, but I don't think that that's real. I understand where you're coming from.
Eddie, what's your side of this?
She's 13. She's, you know, she's got a pretty sound mind. I don't think it's a big deal if she wants to, like, have this relationship, want to come over. As long as one of us is home, it's whatever.
I mean, on the one hand, I get what you're saying is, like, she's young. And there's no, you know, you don't want to feel like you're endorsing it and saying, hey, grow up, get involved in, like, these type of relationships. On the other hand,
right.
If she's already doing it, she's kind of doing it, right? And so then it would
no.
be... Yes, if she's holding hands with a kid and trading notes, you don't think that they're going to steal a kiss in a hallway somewhere? You're better off meeting the kid is just I'm thinking.
13.
I'm just saying is you want to meet the kid. At least you know who you're dealing with. Because if they're a nice kid, then you can feel a little bit more relaxed. Maybe you can get to know the parents or whatever. If they're a bad kid, you can move out of the state. Because that's right. What your daughter is clearly going
to
be in love with.
That's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to run away. You're going to have to pack up your house.
At 13.
I know like six realtors.
Your buddy Raven. I know you regard me as a saint now, but your buddy Raven at 13. Oh, gosh. Meet the kid. Meet the kid.
Coming from the strict Italian upbringing that I had, I can't imagine at 13 bringing somebody to my house and saying, this is my boyfriend.
I mean, if you weren't married now, you couldn't bring anybody there now.
It's true. What we do is ask our audience what they think. And they may see your side, Jessica, and say that this is too young to, you know, giving it the okay that they can come over. But they may see your side too, Eddie, that like Raven says, they're going to do what they want anyway. Let's just...
Best to know the enemy that you have
right,
out there.
So you can figure out whether you got to like start decluttering your house for the realtor's photos.
Get some cameras.
You both agree to listen what our audience has to say?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
Great. Call or text. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Eddie and Jessica have a 13-year-old daughter who has a quote-unquote boyfriend, but it's always been online and texting and all of that and at school. But now she wants to start bringing him over the house. Mom, Jessica says no, because it's one thing to have him at arm's length, but Eddie's not on the same page.
Yeah, I think that when you're dealing with your daughter, if she's asking you for permission for something, you're already ahead of the game, right? Instead of her just saying, oh, I'm going to sneak this or do that. They're going to be home. Is it really the end of the world?
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, Ann and Raven.
I am on the husband's side. I have a 12-year-old son, and he has a little girlfriend. And they don't really do anything but, you know, watch TV, play on the trampoline. You know, they're just young. They don't understand the whole concept of girlfriend, boyfriend. It's just a name that they call each other. They just hang out. It's really not a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, if they know they like each other, that's all they need to know right now.
I'm really torn on this one. I kind of see both sides. Like, I mean, growing up in a household like I did, where God forbid I brought a guy home, you know, that was a big deal. So to me, to think at 13 you're going to allow that is nuts. But I see the other side. They're just friends.
I mean, he's not a guy, right? He's 13, mm-hmm. like you said. And again, I think you could tell your daughter you want to protect her. But if she goes to school and she likes this kid, they're going to make time to run into each other. They are.
I guess I'm worried about the ill intentions. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. I sounded like I was 80 when I said that, right? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Jessica and Eddie's 13-year-old daughter has a boyfriend, and it's always been a school boyfriend on text, by phone, but all of a sudden now she would like to have her boyfriend come over their house. Jessica says, no. There's a difference between your school boyfriend and then bringing them to our home.
Dad Eddie thinks that this is a good idea. His daughter is asking for permission to bring the boy over, and they're going to be home after all. They can meet him. They can monitor the situation. They can get a sense of what kind of kid he is.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
I'm on Dad's side for sure. Better to deal with the devil you know than the devil you don't. I would want to know who this kid is. I would want them to know that we are watching. And I would want to have that relationship.
I like that you use the terminology of devil. Instead of keeping the enemies closer than your friends.
No, but it's all the same, right? I mean, yeah. Again, the devil that you know. Thanks for the call.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I am on the mother's side. She is absolutely correct. She's way too young. We should not encourage adult behaviors at that young age.
Okay, thank you for the call.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta be safe, even though it's blunt, I agree with that a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, you're not encouraging adult behaviors by letting two people who enjoy each other's company just hang out. You're not telling them, hey, let's sit down and watch romance movies. Hey, let's not let you guys have the door closed or whatever. You're just meeting the kid that she likes.
Yeah, but 13 seems young. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
The husband's side, because if hypothetically the thing doesn't work out, you're there to pick up the pieces and pick out his fault.
Okay.
Right.
Good.
He had a weird nose anyways. You didn't want to be with that guy. Right. I didn't like his breath when he came over first, and he had no manners. Who wants a boyfriend like that?
He's 13. It's a child.
Thank you for
the call. Making fun of a 13-year-old's breath.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Eddie, our audience agreed with you. Having this boy over and as a friend and learning guidelines of treating him like he's just any other friend she would bring home is probably the right way to go about it, so like you could at least get to know him and see what kind of kid he is.
Exactly. You know, the more that we get a chance to get to know the kid, you know, we can make our own personal decisions about whether we think it's a healthy thing that she's into. But like, I think that if we're treating her like an adult, that she's not going to, you know, do something behind our backs.
Yeah, I think maybe we can meet him and see what happens.
It's all about, let's do the background check. Let's figure out what this kid is. This is just a little bit of reconnaissance. And this is the beginning of many teenage years. So let's get in front of this thing and have a plan as to how we deal with these kids.
Oh, my gosh. Sounds really intense for a 13-year-old relationship.
Well, how am I going to interrogate them if I can't get them in my house?
Oh, my gosh.
Come on over, kid.
All right, you have a problem,
Look
too.
Look out for the trap door.
Send
an
email. CouplesCourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
It's Jeff and Abby.
Jeff and Abby. Jeff and Abby, you guys are up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, guys.
All right. Here is how it works. Raven is walking out of here. When that big old studio door closes, he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each question. I'll bring Raven back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. But if you beat him, today's jackpot is $100. We're starting it all over again. You ready to do it?
Yep.
Number 1, toilet paper has once again started selling out in Sweden as they prepare to possibly go on lockdown again. What animal is the Charmin mascot on their packaging?
Bear.
Number 2, Rolling Stone has released a new version of their top 500 albums of all time. And topping the list is Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. What Marvin Gaye song starts with the lyrics, I've been really trying, baby, trying to hold back this feeling for so long?
Sexual healing.
Number 3, a new study says that you're on camera without knowing it 238 times a week. Finish this catchphrase from a long-running American hidden reality TV series. Smile, you're on what?
Candid camera.
Number 4, Buddy Velastro accidentally impaled his hand while he was bowling. Buddy is better known as what kind of boss?
I don't know.
At number 5, Tom Hanks had to pay for some of his Forrest Gump scenes because the studio refused to do it. What actress played Forrest's mom?
Sally Field.
All right, not bad. Let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
Okay. Jeff and Abby got 3 out of 5.
That's pretty good. Let's see how I do.
Number 1, toilet paper has once again started selling out in Sweden as they prepare to possibly go on lockdown again.
Sweden.
What animal is the Charmin mascot on the packaging?
That's a bear.
Yeah, big, cozy, cuddly bear. I can't imagine they're that cuddly in real person.
No, I wouldn't cuddle with one.
Number 2, Rolling Stone has released a new version of their top 500 albums of all time. And topping the list is Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. What Marvin Gaye song starts with the lyrics, I've been really trying, baby, trying to hold back this feeling for so long?
That's Let's Get It On.
It is Let's Get It On. That's right.
And if you feel...
Number 3, a new study says that you're on camera without knowing it 238 times a week. Finish this catchphrase from a long-time running American hidden reality TV series. Okay? Smile, you're on what?
Candid camera.
Candid camera is correct. You guys are tied. Number 4, Buddy Velastro accidentally impaled his hand while he was bowling.
Saw that.
Buddy is better known as what kind of boss?
He's a cake boss.
Cake boss is correct. And number 5, Tom Hanks had to pay for some of his Forrest Gump scenes because the studio refused to do it. What actress played Forrest's mom?
The incomparable Sally Fields.
That is correct.
She's amazing.
I'm sorry, guys. Raven beat you 5-3 this morning. That does get you your own Ann on Raven t-shirt.
It's Jeff and Avi, and we can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. And just like that, a new streak begins.
All right, another $100 in the jackpot. Tomorrow morning, your chance at $200. Make sure you're listening at noon and 5:30 today for the cheat sheet. I'll give you the first 2 answers to tomorrow's 5 pop culture questions.